Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And just wondering tonight, are there any truthful politicians out there? Is the mainstream media complicit in reporting the truth? When do American politics become so vile and toxic? How do we get back to some level of civility? Who's to blame for gridlock? Is there hope or is it too late to reconcile and move forward positively? Let the healing begin. We want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Call in and join the conversation at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off your TV and any background noise that will distract the hosts and listeners. We appreciate so much your sharing across social media, commenting on www.facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123, and visiting our humble website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show with David Franklin and Lori Pickup. We're not antisocial, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Democracy.
Yes, indeed.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay, yes, ma'am. And a special shout out to longtime listeners in Ohio, especially the McClunes, Mark, Natalie, and Jennifer, along with a very good friend of mine, Rose. That's her children and everything. So Rose and family, thank you for listening and sharing and, you know, generating discussion and everything. Hope everything is all right there in Ohio. Okay, so where should we start, Lori? Trump has gone to New York.
We all got to watch Trump, all the limousines, you know, driving from the airport into, you know, Manhattan. I don't know how many there were. I think there were six or seven of them, you know, with all the Secret Service, et cetera. And when he got out of the car, of course, Secret Service was there. And he basically just walked in. He did wave, but he really didn't show his face. He really walked in very quickly. So I'm waiting to see tomorrow how it works. The judge, you know, he'll have to go in front of the judge tomorrow. The Trump lawyers have asked for no cameras, you know, they don't want media in there. So that'll be interesting. Let's see what happens with that. I personally would like to see the media in there, only for the reason that, you know, he's always the one dishing it out and, you know, getting other people thrown in prison and, you know, sued and everything else. And this time the shoe is on the other foot, and I would love to just see him squirming. That's what I would like. Go ahead.
And he has such bad representation in terms of defense lawyers that I keep tripping over himself. That I can't pronounce his name.
It's Tucapino. That's his name.
Tucapino. Whatever his name is. He's one of the worst defense lawyers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just incompetent and liars. And they don't know what they're doing. which is a good thing for us.
Yeah, he's been on every, you know, every station, you know, and tried to get interviewed everywhere that he could. And the one that I enjoyed the most is when he was on MSNBC with Ari Melber, and he had Ari had all his paperwork there, and he was reading off everything. And, you know, Tucapino was trying to grab the papers out of his hand. And, you know, the look on his face, you know, on Ari's face was like, what the hell? Trying to grab, you're not grabbing anything from me, you know. That was, for me, that was ultimate. I love that. Also, he has a new lawyer, by the way. I don't know if you know this. He's a white-collar attorney, and he is joining the team. I think he just joined today. He's hired him. He's a white-collar criminal defense lawyer, and he's a former federal prosecutor. His name is Todd Blanche. And his lead counsel, he's going to lead counsel to handle the Manhattan District Attorney's criminal indictment of the former president. Blanche already Blanche until recently a partner at law firm Caldwell, Wickersham and Taft, said in an email obtained by Politico that he was resigning from the firm because I have asked to represent Trump in the recently charged DA case. And after much thought and consideration, I have decided it is the best thing for me to do and an opportunity I should not pass up. He declined for comment on Monday, but he's also represented in the case by Susan, I think her name is Netchelis, and of course, Tucapino lawyers. And also, Blanche is a former assistant U.S. attorney in Manhattan. U.S. Attorney's Office has previously represented Trump ally Paul Manafort, and Igor Fruman, a one-time associate of Rudy Giuliani, who pleaded guilty in a campaign finance case brought to the Manhattan attorney's office. So this ought to be interesting, being that already, you know, I was kind of surprised that he has another lawyer on board, but maybe he's realized that, you know, the lawyers that he has right now are not top notch. We shall see what this lawyer can do. I personally am waiting to hear what the 34, you know, counts are against him, how many felony charges there may be, et cetera. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. Hey, David, would you like to see him being arraigned in court? I mean, would you like to see that and have the judge
read? Oh, yes.
I would just love to see that. I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, definitely, because if it were any other person, depending on who it was, then they'll be shown on the public, getting arraigned and trying to what have you, because he's a former president of the United States, he's getting special treatment. And Republicans love to talk about a two-tier justice system. What is more two-tier than Donald Trump not coming in, you know, just like any other defendant? You know, he has special fights, protected by the Secret Service, New York Police Department, what have you. You know, so he should be treated like a common criminal because that's what he is. You know?
Yep.
And the Washington Post says that the Department of Justice has significant evidence that Donald Trump obstructed the investigation with the secret documents case, where he hid at Mar-a-Lago, because a lot of his employees know that was what was going on and say for themselves what was going on. So they testified for Jack Smith at the Jack Smith investigation. So that's supposed to be blowing up soon. With the 34 indictments, most of them is related to him 2 weeks before the election in 2016, a paying off, allegedly paying off woman he had slept with or sexually harassed or raped or, you know, had sex with. And I find that so gross, you know, and by having sex with Trump, picturing it in my head, but more throw up or just had dinner.
Jesus,
such a disgusting image in my head. I need, I need a bleach, you know, to, like, you know, wash my brain. That's so disgusting. And another big thing is Karen McDougal. She was a former Playboy playmate who claimed 5 years ago that she didn't know that Trump was married. The school children shining knew that Trump was married. But yet still, you know, it was this powerful man. She got intoxicated by the power. And so, you know, could have sex with this man and, you know, improve my career. You know, that's how I interpret it, really. You know? And, you know, she got used and thrown out like bad garbage afterwards. And that's when she came to the media and everything. And she, too, was paid off with non-disclosure agreement. That's why she couldn't share that. But, you know, America wants to thank Stormy Daniels for what she did. And she just showed how intelligent she is.
Yeah, I believe that on her part, it's taken a lot of courage because I am sure that she's been, you know, had death threats, et cetera, just everyone else, you know, tried to go against, you know, Trump or tell the truth about him. And I have to give her that. Let's talk about the judge a little bit.
Before we get to that, remember Stormy Daniels was chased down a high-speed car chase in Florida twice, was shot at. Vlad TV, you know, you have to look that up. The Vlad TV interview with Stormy Daniels was like a near two-hour interview. And she did say that in that interview that she was chased down high speed in Florida and her car shot at twice. Her child went missing, you know, and a lot of death threats. You know, so just keep that in mind. This is who Donald Trump associated himself with. And added to which his vile supporters, you know, he can do no wrong in their eyes. So, you know, just keep in mind, and I hope to keep vigilant in New York where, you know, just 10 or 20 people came out after he was rhetorical, saying that, you know, they should be, you know, coming out and supporting him and everything. So hopefully that will come to fruition. Talk about the judge, Lori.
Yes. His name is Judge Merchan, M-E-R-C-H-A-N. And Trump has already said that the judge hates him, you know, and of course, you know, and of course, that's how he starts out, you know, the judge just hates him. So in other words, he's already trying to say that he's not going to get a fair trial, you know. So Donald Trump dismisses him as a hater, but Judge Joanne Merchan, who's expected to preside over the former president's arraignment, is a veteran jurist with a reputation of being very stern yet compassionate. He's a serious, smart, and even-tempered man, says Ron Kuby, a longtime defense lawyer in Manhattan. He's not one of those judges who yells at lawyers and is characterized as a no-nonsense judge, but he's always in control of the courtroom. That part I love because always wants to be in control of the narrative. He wants to be front and center. You know, whenever he was president, if he went to other countries, he'd cut in front of, you know, the president or the you know, the first lady.
Prime Minister.
You know, he's just rude that way. And he thinks that he is the elite and, you know, there's no one that could step in front of him or talk down to him, and he always wants to be you know. So Derek Kamens, a New York judge turned defense lawyer, said his 60-year-old former colleague is well known, even in difficult cases, to exhibit excellent temperament, integrity, and a solid knowledge of the law. Now, of course, we know that Trump has taken a different view of the judge, and the acting Supreme Justice, who is set to preside over Tuesday's arraignment and likely to oversee a subsequent trial. On Friday morning, Trump blasted Judge Merchan on his social media website while misspelling the judge's last name. The judge assigned to my witch hunt case, and I quote, a case that has never been charged before, hates me. His name is Juan Manuel Merchan, Trump wrote. Allegedly, he's been handpicked for the case by that Manhattan district attorney, Alvin Bragg, a Democrat.
Does Trump expect? A Republican judge that he appointed to oversee what's happening? And, questions the integrity of the judges if he doesn't agree with them, or vice versa. Yeah. You know, he wants to have his cake and eat it, so.
And the thing is that, this judge has, I don't know if he's, no one knows if he's a Republican or a Democrat, and that does not matter. You know, he's overseeing the case. He's going to rule on the case. He's going to make the rules. He's going to, what do you think about a gag order, David? Do you think a gag order is something that this judge should?
Yes, because Trump is off the hook with his rhetoric. Trump is off the hook with his rhetoric. And, Speaker McCarthy and Congressman Jordan are acting like his criminal defense attorney, and they need to shut the fuck up. Because they're adding fuel to the fire and stalking, fear within the base of the Republican Party, the people who vote for Trump usually. And even though a lot of them have been arrested for January 6th, I expect more to come out, even though it's so well heavily armed. They're all in that courthouse and in the courthouse, I suspect. You know, these people haven't learned a lesson from January 6th, some of them. So expect, a good sensible crowd to come out. Not as much as January 6th, obviously, because, people are afraid to get arrested. So a gag order for people within the courtroom, Speaker McCarthy and Jim Jordan and whoever has been there, should be firmly in place. And hopefully somebody is with a cell phone that can, sneak a little, thing on what's going on. So it's Trump crumbling in front of their eyes and everything. God, he's lean up top, big and bold and, macho. But behind closed doors, he's pissing his pants and shitting his independence on the earth.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I feel the same. And for the main reason is that he has no control over the narrative, what they have to say about him, the judge. He has nothing to say to the judge. He can't say anything to the judge. He can't tell the judge what to rule. None of that. He has to sit there and just be silent if he can do it. Do you think they're going to put him on the stand? That's my next question.
No, because he'll incriminate himself even more. And even if he does try to go there to testify, he's just too stupid to remember his lies. The more lies you tell, the more twisted web you weave, no time soon will Donald Trump be going on the witness stand in his own defense. Kind of just make it worse, and it would be an open shut case even more for prosecution.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly what I was going to say, but I thought I'd just get your perspective. Well, he doesn't plan on making a speech tomorrow after he's arraigned and, read his rights, blah, 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 blah. Hopefully he'll be fingerprinted. Sure, I don't know. Mugshot, don't know. Guess so. They right?
Of course.
And he's not expected to speak afterwards in New York. But he does plan on speaking when he gets back to Mar-a-Lago. That is why a gag order is definitely needed, because he's already said that he's going to do that. So his aide said where he is planning to deliver a full-throated defense on his New York case, as well as other investigations he's facing, during a prime-time address from Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday night. It's the first test to see whether Trump can navigate two vastly different approaches to his legal case and his political campaign, which are now, you know, now they're absolutely linked together. So I think that ought to be very interesting. But I hope going to be allowed to do that. I hope that the judge implements a gag order because he just spews lies on a daily basis and flames everybody. Oh, debate gets people angry and mad, and you know. So for that reason, a gag order is definitely in order for this man.
Definitely.
You know, the other thing
on the topic.
Okay. I was just going to say one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last thing. When they drove in and got near the court to wherever he was going, I don't know if it was Trump Tower, and they drove by some supporters, and I would say there was maybe 30, 40 supporters. That was it, with a few signs. That was it.
Right.
So go ahead, David.
Yes, ma'am. So the truth lies in politics. Is there any truthful politician out there? Bernie Sanders is truthful. He's been speaking truth for nearly 40 years since being mayor in Vermont, right up to the U.S. Senate now and everything. But I'd say, arguably, he is the most honest, truthful politician we'll have in D.C. now in Capitol Hill. Republicans are all liars. They're all full of shit. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, I saw bits and clips of her being on 60 Minutes. And it's a double-edged sword, really, because, you know, Leslie Stahl, who's a great, great journalist, interviewed her, and she made her get out certain things, gave her a passion for certain things when Leslie Stahl asked her about, you know, her calling, Marjorie Taylor Greene calling Democrats pedophiles. You know, she, you know, all that the star said was wow, and that was it. You know, she's not challenging her on that.
Yeah, and you know, I did not watch it because I could not believe that, you know, they would, you know, the 60 Minute show that has been on ever would stoop so low to get Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, if you want to get a Republican on there, that's fine. But get one with a brain, okay? Not her. Not her. You know, and their ratings are the from last night, I read today, that they are the lowest they have been. They were down 30% or more. So it was the second lowest rated show that they've ever had. So that's you know, that just tells you something right then and there. It's just, you know, I don't understand what 60 Minutes was thinking about. I don't understand what they were trying to prove, because basically we all know, you know, what she's capable of, the lies that she's capable of. You know, that young man that she walked behind in Central Park and she was harassing
David
him.
Hobbs.
Yes, and followed him, you know, yelling things at him. I mean, and this is who you want to interview? Seriously?
Because what's been happening on the right is that a lot of Republicans and the idiot voters keep saying, oh, you know, the mainstream liberal media not giving Republicans any airtime. So I guess, you know, CBS and 60 Minutes was giving them airtime to show, you know, how incompetent and crazy these people really are. And like I said, it's a double-edged sword, where damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know, I just want to see more hard-hitting questions and everything. And not, you know, like Marjorie Taylor Greene get away it's so many things, so many lives, calling Democrats pedophiles. I mean, when you saw the class cases that happened, shut up, Millie.
Yeah.
When you sit in the dog barking.
I know.
When you see the pedophile cases and the gay cases, you know, a lot of them are Republican politicians or the born-again evangelical type people who hit out and blast the gay lifestyle, but yet still behind closed doors, they're doing this very same thing. So the hypocrisy of this Republican Party, you have a bad taste in your mouth and everything. It's just disgusting, these people how they lie. They lie as much as, you know, people breathe easily. You know, and these people keep getting elected. Why? Because of gerrymandering and putting fear in people and closing down precincts and everything, and making people harder for brown and black people to vote and everything. You know, so they're not good. They're not good for America, and that's one of the major differences between Democrats and Republicans. I can't see anybody from our side being such vile, disgusting liars.
No, and you know. I wrote a little something I was thinking today about this MAGA party that we have right now. And I just wrote a little something. And since you brought up Republicans and how they lie, I'm just going to read this real quick. And it's short, but it's just these are my thoughts. You know, Republicans cry freedom, but, you know, they work daily to take away rights, dismantle our democracy, and they're doing it one step at a time in order to protect their power. Republicans want to dictate to all of us the choices we are allowed to make. They want to silence speech. They want to kidnap immigrants. They want to control women. They want to promote victimhood to distract from the fact that healthcare, education, the economy, you know, economic progress for working people, violent crime rates are far worse, I think, in the red states than they are in the blue states. And then the Democrats, just like you said a minute ago, David, are always on the defense. You know, we allow these crazy culture wars to become relevant. And then, you know, they distract people from issues that really matter in our daily lives. This has got to change. This has got to change. And let's hope that 2024 will be the change that we need.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Republicans just lie about everything. Even when there's no reason to lie, you can tell the white lies, a lie. Mm-hmm. It's just in their DNA. You know, and we know who they are. It don't really surprise us, but it really, really tells a lot about who votes for them, even though their lies have been debunked over and over again, you know, and, you know, people still defend them. There's no defense for that. You know, so it's a lot more about the people who vote for them than them themselves, because we know who they are. So we're not really surprised by them. And the biggest liar, George Santos. You know, George Santos is like the poster child for the lying Republicans.
Well,
you know, they have no integrity. If he had any integrity or shame, he would have resigned a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a Republican party. What are you going to do?
Nothing. You know, and also today, the New York City mayor, Eric Adams, he actually handed down a warning to Marjorie Taylor Greene after she said she was going to appear, you know, at a pro-Trump rally in New York on the day of the former president's arraignment. And all he had to say to her was, be on your best behavior. He went on to say, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is known to spread misinformation and hate speech, she says she's coming to town. Adam said at a press conference on Monday, while you're in town, he told her, he said, be on your best behavior. So they're ready for her. They're ready for her.
And she got all she got all offended when he said that.
Too bad. You know, what do you want me to say? you know, so sad. I mean, she mm-hmm. made her own bed. She's going to have to lie in it.
Yeah.
Pardon?
And I have the clip here. I have the clip here of the mayor saying exactly what you just said. It's a two-minute clip. Here it is.
Police Commissioner and I spoke on our morning briefing with the other team. We were clear that tomorrow is a day that's going to draw a great deal of attention to our city. And we know there are many questions around the movement of the city, and we want to make sure that we send a very clear and loud message. As the deputy mayor stated, New York City is always ready. We know that this city, where our NYPD and other law enforcement entities must be prepared at any given moment for anything to happen in this city. To start, I want to make it clear, the commissioner stated over and over again, there has been no specific credible threat to our city at this time. And all New Yorkers should go on with their regular activities.
He's basically saying, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, that, you know, everybody should go about their business. There's no major threat that has been detected, which is a good thing. Lord Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan and the Speaker of the House coming to town, that may all change, and that will change because, you know, they're just being themselves, assholes, you know, and they, you know, rampant rhetoric. And this judge will put a gag order on Trump and his lawyers, the rhetoric will rise even higher. A few of them are discontent, but they're there. And God knows what may happen, because hopefully it will be another January 6th, you know, where people died, actually died. And it's just, they're just sad people. It's not the party of Lincoln and Ike anymore. It's just, the Republicans have turned into a fascist movement. You know, Hitler, Mussolini, you know, would have been proud. You know, and they're just disgusting, awful people who has no business being in government. If someone wants smaller government, then stop running for office. Go home.
Exactly. Well, you know, they brag about wanting smaller government, but they do the exact opposite. You know, like I said, you know, they want to silence our speech. They want to, you know, control women and, you know, abortion and everything else, you know, ban books, tell us what we can read, tell us what we cannot read.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let's queue up the next thing.
Okay,
so as I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene was on 60 Minutes last night on Leslie Stahl, asked her a bunch of questions. And, you know, here's one of the clips and highlights.
Stand by what's on your social media? Well, of course I stand for what's on my social media, but at times you're not always in control. We have all kinds of people that work on our social media.
Did you apologize for your position on Parkland, Florida?
What was my position on Parkland, Florida?
That it was a false flag.
I don't know. You actually have my position. No, I never said Parkland was a false flag. No, I've never said that.
We fact-checked before I got to this interview.
Have you fact-checked all my statements from kindergarten through 12th grade?
You said Marjorie Taylor Greene is such a liar. She actually tweeted that it was a false flag operation.
Yeah.
Let's install a caller over it, and she's still denying it.
And in college, the Democrats are a party of pedophiles. I would definitely say so. They support grooming children.
They are not pedophiles. Why would you say that?
Democrats support, even Joe Biden, the president himself, supports children being sexualized and having transgender surgeries. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do to children.
Yeah, so what's her name?
There's no one sicker than her.
Yeah, in defense of Joe Biden, he is for people making the right decision, their own decision when they're 18 or above, not when they're children. So, again, Marjorie Taylor Greene lying, looking directly in the camera, grinning that ugly-ass grin, and lying to the American people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just beyond scum pond. I mean, has no soul. She's just, and you know, people that can actually be interviewed like that and blatantly lie, there's really something mentally wrong with them. There really is. And I truly believe there is something mentally wrong with her. The things that, you know, she's gone after AOC. I mean, you know, the things that she says are just so no class either. And when she talks, absolutely no class. It just pours out of her mouth and whatever comes out, you know, throw it at the wall and let it stick. And she thinks that people are respect her. Nobody respects her. She's a clown. She's a clown, you know.
Yeah, and she's Miss Family Values, who, you know, when she went to the gym and everything, she actually let public know, you know, Miss Family Values, remember. And she cheated on her husband and slept with two different gym rats, you know. So she's the one talking about Family Values. She belonged to the streets. That's where she belonged, not in Congress. So hopefully in 2024, which I doubt very much, District 14 in Georgia will vote for her again because it's a deeper district. And that's, you know, what happened when there's gerrymandering, heavy gerrymandering in politics. Here's a little more of Marjorie Taylor Greene on 60 Minutes to talk about fake news. And Marjorie claimed that she no longer used the term fake news. I want to play a little bit of it. Here it is.
Philosophically, what is happening in our country that this kind of anger has reached this level?
It's very polarizing. I don't know how we got this way, but I do know there were situations that happened, like when Hillary Clinton declared that we were all deplorables because we voted for Trump. The way I've been portrayed in the media and a character of myself that doesn't exist, that people in the public feel like they can come after me or someone like me, and it's just absolutely wrong. But
This bitch, this cow, this ugly moron, this inbred Georgia Nazi have the right to say that how dare people come after her, she needs her personal space. What about David Hogg when he was going to testify and you're at his heels, you know, the 17-year-old kid at the time, and you're like berating him and bemoaning him and bullying him. And yet still, you claiming that you have nobody has a right to approach you in public. Who the hell do you think she is? Queen?
I know.
I
know.
The political polarization that's happened in our country, I believe it's a true tragedy, and it's terrible.
So I just listened to your answer, and here's what you did. You attacked the Democrats, and you attacked the media. In one sentence.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's what's happened.
No, but there must be something else because Democrats are being abused as well. It's not just one side. That's the thing. It's like a virus.
Well, I don't know what it is. People hear things and see things, and then they react. It's just a tragedy of where we are today. And I don't want to attack the media, Leslie. I actually truly support the press in this country. I believe the freedom of press is one of our greatest freedoms and rights, but I don't like the way they have portrayed me, and they have.
Wasn't she the one when Joe Biden was doing his State of the Union, was screaming lies, fake media, Jim Goldberg? And she said she don't know how it started, blaming Hillary Clinton for calling them deplorables. This woman is insane. I wish I could really say what I feel about this woman, but we'll be yanked off air. I don't want no Secret Service coming out to the door. This woman is full of shit. She's like Trump with a vagina, but more stupid. That's who she is. But anyway, moving right along. If you want to call in, we'll have 1 hour, 20 minutes left, folks. The number is 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from everybody and your perspective on truth, lies, and politics, and what's going to happen or might happen tomorrow when Donald Trump is arraigned, fingerprinted, mugshot taken, all that good stuff. I want to hear from people out there. Don't be shy. I know on Facebook you talk a lot and post a lot and everything. You know, we're not anti-social here. We're just anti-stupid. Even if you have a right-wing feeling or opinion, you can state it here.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't try and overtake the show and talk over
mm-hmm.
us, try to do this, then
mm-hmm.
we'll hang up on Zoom, you know, confronting everything.
Mm-hmm.
So call us in to 515-605-9802. We're also on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123, and the website is kitchenpolitics123.com. So
mm-hmm.
when did, politics become violent and toxic? Do you think it was after JFK was murdered, or do you think it was the heights of Watergate when Nixon had to resign because he lied? You know, when this whole toxicity came in.
Well, that may have got the ball rolling, but I think the toxic part that we are in right now, the way things are right now, the lies that we hear every day, the name calling, the everything. It's since Trump. It's since 2016. It's since he,
mm-hmm.
Screamed, said every single day, lock her up, and accused Hillary Clinton of doing all these horrible, things. And we know that she didn't. And that's when I think it's all started. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
The toxic,
I think it started way before then because, Fred Cork, that's Charles and David Cork's father back in
mm-hmm.
the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
when then congressman turned senator, John F. Kennedy, ran for the presidency against Nixon, the former vice president then, under Ike. And that's when big money came into politics, where the right wing, the John Birch Society, the evangelicals, and what have you, tried to put their print on politics.
Mm-hmm.
They hated JFK so much, they'd run ads against him,
Yeah, that's true.
That's when the toxicity for me started.
Mm-hmm.
It came to a head when Nixon had to resign from Watergate. But with the culmination in 1998 when Reagan was elected president, I had the golden boy in, and it's everything went to shit after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we really, it was like the right wing on steroids when Reagan came in.
Mm-hmm.
So the civility left. At least back in the 80s, Reagan and Tiffany were then Speaker of the House, could let me can compromise. But how much did Democrats give up, to compromise with Republicans,
Mm-hmm.
that they put through Star Wars program that Reagan loved so much, which was a waste of money, it turned out. The Iran-Contra, what else? The FCC thing where, Elaine always talk about bringing back the Fair Doctrine Act. Reagan
mm-hmm.
was, of course, dead in the one when we came
mm-hmm.
in. Get opening the floodgates for right-wing media to come in and speak their lies. So Republicans for the past 50 years, not since Ike, have they been good people. And the soul of this country to rich corporations, basically, because of rich corporations and rich individuals for the most part give to Republicans because in return they get tax cuts and, they get special treatment by the likes of Trump, which is part of the 1%. So it's just a whole, it's just bullshit, basically. Democrats
mm-hmm.
and people like Senator Bernie Sanders tried to stand up for the working class man
mm-hmm.
and the working families, but yet still they get called on, called names. Oh, you're a socialist, a pinko fascist. Made
mm-hmm.
up shit. What the hell is a pinko fascist? a socialist / fascist, which is two different
mm-hmm.
ideologies who don't get along. Islamo-fascist. Islam and fascism
mm-hmm.
really don't get along. So, this whole, media soundbite bullshit propagated
mm-hmm.
by Fox News and Hannity and what's the next one's name? and Tucker Carlson, Mr. Bowtie, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my God, have we gone down the rabbit mm-hmm. hole so deep that, mm-hmm. you know, people can't differentiate stupidity from facts? Yeah, it's frightening.
Yes, absolutely. And let's just talk a little bit about Alvin Bragg. Just to go back, you know, on his background a little bit, so that people know a little more about him. We know that he's a Democrat. He became Manhattan's first black district in 2022, following his election mm-hmm. in 2021. As a district attorney, what is his job? Let's just talk a little bit about this. I think it's good to know all the background sometimes, and we can understand what's happening, you know, a little clearer. The office prosecutes nearly all criminal cases in Manhattan, staffed by about 500 lawyers. The district attorney also is a key political figure, overseeing cases that involve defendants with immense wealth, fame, and influence. Manhattan District Attorney is the one of the most highest profile prosecution jobs in the world. Dramatized on TV shows like Law and Order, Blue Bloods, who held the job for 35 years, was the model for the fictional character Adam Schiff on Law and Order, one of the series of the original leads played by actor Stephen Hill. The office has a budget of about $150 million and has used a separate $800 million forfeiture fund bankrolled by Wall Street settlements for grants to criminal justice and community organizations, big initiatives such as testing backlog rape kits. Bragg is just the fourth elected district attorney in Manhattan in the last eight decades. Frank Hogan served for 31 years. Robert Morgenthau was in office for 34 years until he was 90. Vance retired at the end of 21 after 12 years. And what is his background? Bragg's career includes a time as a federal prosecutor and assistant attorney general for the state of New York and a civil rights attorney who represented Eric Garner's mother as she pressured New York City officials for more accountability against the officers and commanders involved in her son's 2014 death by a police chokehold. Bragg's campaign included promises to change the culture of the office and allied him with other progressive prosecutors aiming to eliminate cash bail. Shortly after he released a public memo promising the district attorney would no longer prosecute some low-level misdemeanor crimes. Bragg, who grew up in Harlem, graduated from Harvard Law School. So he's got a good reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was brought up by good parents and mm-hmm. a good community in Harlem. Trump and Republicans fear an educated minority person. The vitriol, the rhetoric that Trump and Republicans are showing is very racist and crude. I just fear for Alvin Bragg's safety. I hope he's well protected.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, like I said, and we both said that, you know, hopefully the judge put a gag order on Trump. Because even Congresswoman Lofgren, who was part of the January 6th committee in the House, she's from California, the Congresswoman from California, is saying that he just keep upping and upping his rhetoric. And the more he ups his rhetoric, the more fuel to the fire he will, you know, give to his supporters. His dumb, stupid, supporters.
Yeah, that's why they need the gag order. They really, truly need the gag order. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important in this.
But even if there's a gag order, would somebody like Trump, who loved hearing himself speak, would he even keep quiet on that judge's gag order?
Well, the problem is with a gag order, you will go to prison if you violate it. You know, they'll probably give you a couple chances. And a couple warnings, I should say, And after that, mm-hmm. you will go for the gag order. Absolutely. You know, you'll go sit in jail until mm-hmm. trial time, probably. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Something
yeah,
is
and hopefully
necessary.
There's no warning. Just throw in jail for disrupting the gag order. Yeah, there should,
exactly.
there should be more warning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the other thing mm-hmm. that we have to remember about this case, something that I was also thinking about, do you know that the former Manhattan GA, I think his last name was Vance.
Yes,
the one that he said that Trump's DOJ asked their office to stand down on the hush money investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Says a lot right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely, because,
you know, so that's when they, remember, then everyone thought, well, what the hell happened? Why isn't this case going forward? It was stagnant, you
mm-hmm.
know, it didn't
mm-hmm.
go forward, and that's the reason why. And who was the, Department of Justice, who was that? That was Barr.
William Barr.
Barr. Yeah,
Elena Shaw, the Transport Secretary, Wilbur Ross was Commerce Secretary in Trump administration, and a couple of
mm-hmm.
other secretaries in the Trump administration
mm-hmm.
wrote a law,
mm-hmm.
you know, was caught with
yep.
kickbacks and everything, and Barr refused
mm-hmm.
to prosecute or investigate it. You know, so
mm-hmm.
if you want to talk about, you know, corruption in government, it started there. Department of Justice on the bar. You know, he refused
yep.
to investigate Trump, and he swept under the rug a lot of things Elena Chao did and Wilbur Ross did, because as far as I'm concerned, those people should be in prison for what they did.
Yes, absolutely should be. I agree with you. The other thing mm-hmm. is, going back to Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said that Trump has encouraged her to run for Senate, and she says she's very flattered, by the way. So she said that she should run for Senate. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you happen to be here. Would you like to run for Senate? I will fight like hell for you, I tell you, Trump said in Waco, Texas, drawing a smattering of cheers from the crowd.
mm-hmm.
I can't even, it makes me sick to think about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's just sickening. So
she wants to be vice president so bad. She wants to be his running mate
yeah.
so bad in 2024.
Yeah.
She and Carrie Lake in Arizona,
yeah.
the failed candidate for governor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who she would run against is Senator John Ossoff. He's
mm-hmm.
a first-term Democrat. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? But that's who he picked.
And John Ossoff was the youngest ever elected person in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. During the primaries, he defeated Jimmy Carter's grandson. I can't remember what Carter he was in.
Yeah.
And Ossoff been doing good, along
mm-hmm.
with the other senator, Raphael Warnock from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's slowly but surely, hopefully Georgia
mm-hmm.
will turn through the election cycle.
Yeah,
yeah. Because Kemp had no business in winning that re-election.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the fair tactics that really work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Oh, this dog making noise. Sorry about that. If you're hearing any fluffing in the back, it is the dog making noise. I'm sorry about that. So Democrats target 31 GOP seats in aggressive campaign for House majority. In a list reported by NBC News, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee laid out the House districts it's aiming to flip next year. And one of them is George Santos' District 3 seat, where
mm-hmm.
he won under false pretenses and lies. It's a conservative leading district, but it's vulnerable now because they don't know who the hell George Santos is, even if, you know, is that even his real name? Another vulnerable GOP incumbent seat is Lauren Boebert in Colorado 6. The Congressional Committee Executive Director Julian Mertz said in an interview that the party's strategy is to present Biden and the Democrats as team normal against chaotic brand of the MAGA extremists. So this will contrast Biden legislative wins, which is mainly the $35 a month insulin cost cap and lower drug prices for Medicare, the manufacturing and new infrastructure projects, with the Republican majority, all hat and no cattle, as I said, in Texas, when it comes to delivering results. So in 2 years of his presidency, Joe Biden has done more in 2 years than that orange boy Donald Trump has done in 4 years, you know, and they have nothing to show for these Republicans.
No, they don't.
You know, so the list of the 31 district that they're targeting to get a majority. I'm trying to look for the list here. Yeah, I don't know where the hell the list is.
Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah,
but, I have it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rep. David Schweikert of Arizona. Juan Kuzmani of Arizona. Kevin Kiley of California. John Durante of California. David Velladio of California. Ken Calvert of California. Michael Steele of California. Anna Paulina Luna of Florida, Maria Salazar of Florida, Marionette Miller Meeks of Iowa, Zachary Nunn of Iowa, John James of Michigan, please get rid of him, Ryan Zinke of Montana, Thomas Keene of New Jersey, Nick LaLatta of New York, Anthony Desposito of New York, Michael Lawler of New York, Marcus Mullerano, of New York, Brandon Williams of New York, Lori Chavez de Reamer of Oregon, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Monica De La Cruz of Texas, and Jennifer Kiggins of Virginia, Brian Steele of Wisconsin, and Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin. Those are, that is the list of Republicans that they want to get rid of, or not get rid of, but beat in the next election. So that's quite a list. I'm happy to hear, or see, I should say, that they do have a plan. And they've already got their targets, and I mean, that's awesome. And if we could get the majority, wouldn't that be great?
Yes, because, for example, Hillary Scholten in Michigan 3, she is the first Democrat in 45 years to win that seat. Which means saw the red from the past 45 years. And she made history last election when she won the seat. She was an attorney. She's a mother of two, West Michigan native. Dedicated to public service and have the LGBTQ community who face housing discrimination because of who they are. You know, she was at the Justice Department under the Obama administration, and since her election in 2022, Hillary has been laser focused on issues facing West Michiganders, as they're already working hard to deliver results and everything for 2024. So the Republican district for the past 1 to 5 years since she came along was plus six in terms of, leaning Republican. And she spent $3.8 million on a campaign to defeat a longtime Republican district. And, you know, it surprises everybody. That was one of the races. Not really surprised the mass media, Michigan District 3. You know, so good going on her.
Yeah.
I mean, 45 years is like a stranglehold for any seat.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was one
crazy.
Of the gerrymandered seats that, you know, Republicans didn't really put any effort in. And she came out of nowhere and just blasted them to smithereens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The next thing that I'd like to talk a little bit about is Florida. There are going on there. They have, this makes me so angry. Florida closes in on a 6-week abortion ban while also allowing a no permit gun carry. So in one hand, they don't want abortion. You know, they're taking away that right from women. On the other hand, you don't have to have a permit to carry a gun, so you could kill a child, but you sure as hell can't abort one. That really is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very contradicting, you know. And remember, Florida have your stand your ground law where, you know, you can, like, use an excuse that you felt threatened, so you just shoot somebody you don't like. And, stand your ground law, especially if you're a white person, you know.
Yeah.
If you're black or brown, it's questionable, you know. And 6 weeks, you know, gestation, that's not even, you know, forming hands and feet and toes or nothing.
No.
And
nothing.
Again, not even a heartbeat. And the thing is, Republicans are the same ones that they want government out of your life. What is more big government than going inside a woman's uterus and trying to tell her how to run her body? You know, this is what can't stand with Republicans. And anyone who supports a Republican, then, you know, may as well, you know, just jump off a cliff and kill yourself, because Republicans don't care about, you know, women as people in general. They don't care about the LGBT community. If you're not white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, then they hate your guts. Get it through your head, people. And now with this gun thing where you all have a license, you don't need a license, Florida man will strike again, undoubtedly. You know, you don't need a license for a silencer. They want to make that a national law where you can get a silencer to put on your gun to kill people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's ludicrous. It's horrible. And I don't understand, you know, why people in Florida, the residents of Florida, I just don't get it. So I'm just
because a majority of Floridians are red. They're Republican, especially up north in the panhandle where I used to live. The only bastion of blue Florida is Broward County and parts of Miami-Dade. Every other Florida, you know, place is red, either light red or deep red. It's more north you go, is more red Florida become. You know, you know, Tallahassee, red. You know, the Tampa Bay, there are some blue corners there, but you know, basically, you know, Florida is red because the people are just stupid, basically. You know, there's no other way of saying it.
You know, well, here's the article. It says Florida took another step to the right on Monday when the state Senate approved a bill to ban abortions after 6 weeks, a measure supported by Republican governor and expected presidential candidate, Ron DeSantis, who on the same day signed into law a bill allowing the public to carry concealed guns without a permit. The latest proposal to reproductive rights must still be approved by the House in the state legislature, but it reaches the governor's before it reaches the governor's desk. Florida currently prohibits abortions after 15 weeks. A 6-week ban would more closely align Florida with the abortion restrictions of other Republican-controlled states and give DeSantis a political win on an issue important with the GOP primary voters ahead of his potential White House run. So, mm-hmm. in other words, he is just going along party lines and obeying the masters, whoever the hell they are. And
the
he's
NRA,
going to
they're the masters.
Sign, yeah, yeah, and sign the 6-week ban. It's just disgusting. And then we have Wisconsin. They're also fighting an abortion ban. There's a judicial election that will decide the fate of the abortion in Wisconsin. Control of state Supreme Court will ultimately decide the fate 49th abortion ban that was revived in June after Roe was overturned. 1 week in late March, Mackenzie Schroeder offered to drive a friend across Wisconsin border into Illinois to get an abortion. Abortion has been illegal in Wisconsin since June when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, reviving the state's 1849 near total abortion ban. If you've never been in a situation, you can never understand how a woman feels if they're pregnant and don't know what to do. I mean, it's just, how can these people tell a woman what the hell to do with her body and think they can get away with it? I mean, I just, you know, and all of this in Wisconsin hinges on this judge that I think there's an election coming up and it's all going to hinge on him. His ruling will maybe make abortion be banned totally. Mm-hmm. And that's sickening. It's sickening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because no violent woman's opinion, the same woman as, you know, we got to remember to follow the Bible, you know, whatever the Bible say, the church of the Bible say, hey, woman should mm-hmm. subdue her man and, you know, bottle onto his feet because he's head on the household and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Stepford Wives, basically, these right-wing women who can't think mm-hmm. of themselves. And that's all it is, really. You know, women should know the place when it comes to the Republican Party because look how much women in the Republican Party ran for office. And mm-hmm. they didn't get anywhere. Why? Because Republicans, men especially, feel that, you know, they should stay in the place and you know, follow the men's lead. That mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yep.
And that sort of the yep. operate.
Not mm-hmm. happening. Mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And also, another thing in there is a Disney civil rights film rarely been banned in a Florida school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we stop this? A Florida elementary school temporarily pulled a civil rights film by Disney that follows the story of Ruby Bridges, who faced discrimination in her school 62 years ago. NBC's Valerie Castro has the latest on the growing outrage as the classroom controversy continues within the state. Why? Don't they know that they can watch that movie anywhere? If they ban it in elementary school, that means nothing. You know, you can go to YouTube and watch the movie. I mean, I just don't understand what they're trying to prove. I just don't.
Yeah, whitewashing history, you know, basically.
Yeah. Mhm.
Mhm.
You're right. They're
yeah.
whitewashing, or they're trying to tell us that didn't happen, and those of us that know it happened, we, you know, that went through it in history class and have read books,
mm-hmm.
etc., know that it happened. Absolutely, know that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And some people
are there during the marches
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Because, for example, a good example is in Texas, where in public schools, they change the history books to read that
mm-hmm.
the blacks came on these ships as guests. You
mm-hmm.
know? Through slavery, that is, you know?
I mean, I saw it for myself with my own eyes. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, is this like, is somebody doing a hidden camera prank in here where I put this in the school books? And speaking of a school, you know, these fanatical right-wing nut jobs who support Trump and QAnon and whoever else, they've been going to turn up school board meetings and, you know, ranting and raving at lunatics that there are.
Yeah.
Just threatening people. I think it was in Georgia or North Carolina, one of those southern states, where this black child, who's like 11 or 12 years old, this adult, this grown male adult, white guy, you know, confronted this child after the school board meeting and on tape threatened him to shoot him. You get what I'm saying? And this is how fanatic and rabid and disgusting these Trump QAnon people are. And it's people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, you know, add fuel to the fire with the rhetoric. And, you know, I mean, the bits and pieces I saw for 60-minute interview, it was a more subdued Marjorie Taylor Greene, but what came out of her mouth was actually still very toxic and stupid. And I hope people sit through the lines that this woman has no business being deputy speaker of the House, and she have all this power and everything. And instead of legislating and working with Democrats, when Leslie Stahl asked her, so what do you compromise with Democrats? She's like, oh, there's no compromising because Democrats want to raise the taxes, that, that, that. And she just got on a tangent and everything, you know? And it's just, when you pick apart and analyze what she said, it's just like a long rant that made absolutely no fucking sense. You know? This is who we have in power in the House.
I know.
It's frightening. It's frightening. Something
scary.
Has to be done.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it, but it's pretty damn scary. Yeah, I mean, 24 can't come fast enough, but in a way, you know, it's scary to think, but they have to, we have to win in 24 because we can't go on like this. We just, we can't. You know, Florida is the model for the rest of the red states. You know that, and I know that. You know, they're the model. They're very in Florida, actually, to see how much they can get, you know, how much garbage they can get passed, you know, how many rights they can take, you know, how many books they can ban, how many teachers they can censor. I mean.
So Florida is a blueprint of what right-wing red states, you know, will do, because in all these states, basically, you have a Republican majority in the state legislature, both in the state house and the state senate. And if they don't have a governor who is a Democrat, then it would be So even though it has proven time and time again that these policies have failed, and Florida, you know, trying to push this narrative, which going to fail again, is like these red states don't learn. You know, and people who vote for these idiots, it says much more about them and how dumb they are. You know, I'm not talking about the people in the setup and everything listening, but you're stupid if you keep voting Republican, because Republicans have shown time and time again that they don't give a shit about you. They want to take away Social Security and Medicare. They want to take away, you know, the Affordable Care Act. They have it on a different name. I can talk about it on a different name and everything. I mean, and the blasted, oh, Obamacare is socialism. But yes, still, this is what is helping the populace, you know? And these politicians who rant and rave like lunatics, they have free healthcare, free dental, free security, free everything for life. You have a pension after you serve in Congress or the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. It's just what's
you know,
good
if
they
think it's socialism, why, you know, if they think it's socialism, I should give all that up and say, oh, I don't want a government pension, I don't want a health care, dental, whatever else. You know?
You're right.
And even
you're
point to these things, like, they have it good. You know, look at you compared to them. Why they don't have health care for all is because they look down upon you. You know, the liquid that you're feeling is not rain coming down on you. They're basically at top, pissing on you and laughing at you and mocking you and ridiculing you. We saw it in the emails and the text messages that were brought by Dominion against Fox News, where the anchors themselves mock and ridicule the viewers of Fox News. So people wake up. You know, it's not left-wing propaganda or propagating on the show or trying to spread.
No.
This is facts. No. You know, Fox News has been debunked many times. Republicans have been, called out several times and shown how, you know, hypocritical they are. You know, the Republican Party is not the Republican Party of the grandfather, the great-grandfather. They've morphed into this right-wing fringe Nazi movement who want to have Donald Trump as a figurehead, autocratic leader, and know the grooming, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, you know, who Disney flopped the show recently when, you know, he tried to go in there on the business board and try to change things up. It didn't really work out well for Ron DeSantis. I don't know if you have a story behind that. Yeah, you can tell the listeners, you know, what happened when DeSantis tried to, like, upend Disney.
I believe what happened is that the new CEO that they the CEO that they had stepped down, the CEO that they had stepped down, and the original CEO, if I can find the article, came out of retirement, so to speak, because of everything that Ron DeSantis is trying to do to Disney. And so if everyone remembers about the board that he, that Satan put into power to basically tell Disney what they could and could not do. Well, Disney didn't take that very well, and they got their own board and basically turned everything around on them so that the board that DeSatan appointed has no power against the board that the CEO put into power. So that was a big slap in the face for DeSatan. And I am sure he's livid over it and very and angry and, you know, but too bad. You know, why he was picking on Disney is beyond me. I don't get why he's picking on Disney, and I guess I do get why, because they're not, they're all, you know, they don't discriminate against
Disney is too woke, I guess, you know. Everything about DeSantis is woke. He's anti-woke. You know, and when we ask DeSantis what the hell does woke mean, he doesn't know. You know, and people vote for this clown. I don't get it. You know, Jesus Christ, people. DeSantis is a clown.
Well,
he's worse than Trump.
No, he definitely is worse than Trump. I do agree with you as far as that goes. And the reason I agree with that is because I think he's more conniving and intelligent, and he's very crafty, and he knows the back roads of how to get things done. And that, and we see, you know, what he's done to Florida already, and it's nothing positive. It's nothing for the people, you know. So what else can you say about it? It's just disgusting.
I guess the people have to learn. The people have to learn. It's like, how can I... I can't say it another way. The people are just too stupid, you know, to know what's good for them. You know, this media soundbite that Republicans love giving. And, you know, saying, oh, Democrats are coming for your guns. You know, for the past how much years, since Jimmy Carter in 1980, from then till now, every goddamn election cycle, Democrats want to take away your guns. You know,
No.
How stupid can one be to vote Republican?
Yeah, we just want gun safety. That's all we want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now we're going to talk about another bill, and it has to do with abortion again. I did send mm-hmm. it to you, Dave. It's an Idaho bill that would ban abortion trafficking if passed.
Mm-hmm.
This is something a little different. A bill
mm-hmm.
in Idaho make it a crime for an adult to aid a minor in undergoing an abortion or obtaining abortion pills across state lines with the intent to conceal their purpose from minors, parents, or legal guardian. Idaho House Bill 242 calls the crime abortion trafficking, is what they call it. Can you believe the words that they used? An adult
convicted
of obtaining abortion pills or recruiting, harboring, or transporting minor for a procedure across state lines and without parental consent would face up to 5 years in prison, according to the bill text. Idaho borders several states where abortion is legal, including Oregon, Washington, Montana, and California. Oregon's Department of Justice launched a legal helpline for abortion access earlier this year, which the state's attorney general noted as important because we share a border with Idaho, which has a near total abortion ban. The proposal passed the Idaho House and now before the state Senate. If it passes the GOP majority chamber, it would head to the Republican governor Brad Little's desk for signature. The bill would add to Idaho's abortion law, already some of the most restrictive in the country. It's among a number of states that moved to ramp up abortion restrictions after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade. I mean, isn't it appalling? That within itself is enough to make me want to throw up. You know, how can these people dictate, once again, what women and young women can do with their bodies? They cannot dictate that. And there needs to be an uprising, a full-scale uprising, like they do in France, like they did in Germany, like they do all around the world, except here.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess that won't ever happen in America because we're too busy watching and trying to keep up with the Kardashians and all that good stuff, you know. And if it don't affect people directly, they won't care about it. Until it's too late where, you know, people just don't care. And you can't give the excuse that, oh, they're busy with their lives and everything and raising children and having 2-3 jobs. No. You know, it don't affect you directly. Then what about looking at, you know, about your neighbor who may be from Mexico or wherever, an immigrant? And you say how the Republicans treat immigrants and everything, but yet still say, oh, that don't really affect me, so I really don't care. You know, the same way they go after the immigrants, the LGBTQ people, women's rights, you know, things like that. You know, eventually they're going to, you know, run out of people to prosecute and go after their rights and come after your own. And who would be there to stand up for you? Nobody. You know, that's why you have to respect France and the people, the citizens of France, where, you know, Macron wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64 without being in debate in Parliament. You know, us, you know, we'll have filibuster. And after that, whatever majority vote, then that's the outcome and everything. And people just lie back and accept. So, oh, okay, whatever, you know. And when things go to shit, they have the nerve, the Republicans, spin it to make Democrats look like they're flawed and everything. Because during that interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I come back to this evil witch, this moron from 14th District in Georgia, where
claiming that Democrats want to take away Medicare and Social Security. You know, that's when I stopped watching, because I'm like, last election was about that. It was a clear fact, known proven fact, that Rick Scott and Mike Lee from Utah, the senator from Utah, wanted to scrape Medicare and Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's coming on 60 Minutes. And added to which, Leslie Stahl didn't challenge her on it. You know, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Giving them free advertisement to lie. We're not challenging them and throwing it in the face like, hey, you said this at this time. You know, so I'm like, okay, enough of the shit. You know?
I agree. That's why I didn't even watch it, because, you know, I was so upset at the fact that they even, you know, put her on. Like I said, there's okay to have Republicans on, but not her, not Lauren Boebert, not Jim Jordan, not, you know, the mega extreme crazies. They don't belong in the mainstream. They just don't belong there. They belong in a hole where buried. That's where they belong. That's where their voice belongs.
Look at CBS and 60 Minutes. Maybe they did it to show people how fanatic and crazy these right-wingers like Marjorie Taylor Greene is.
I don't know.
To sit there and not challenge what you say. But to sit there and not challenge what you say. You know, bold-faced, blatant lies. You know, it's very disheartening.
Because
an average person who not, you know, not keen on politics, say, oh, okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene, not too bad. She seemed, you know, moderate. You know, I mean,
she seemed like she was on, you know, that she was a little calmer than she normally is. She was on her better behavior, you know. But beyond that, you know, calling Democrats groomers and whatever else she said,
and pedophiles,
a blatant lie. You know, a blatant lie. How dare she go on national
And when she said that, Leslie Stahl's reaction was like, wow. And that was it. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, wow. You know, I mean, why did she challenge her? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have somebody on there like that and take on that responsibility to interview someone that you know is a liar and a gaslighter. Why wouldn't you challenge her? You know, I bet your Barbara Walters would have challenged her.
Diane Sawyer would challenge her, Katie Couric, whoever, but it is what it is. And look who owns CBS. You have to say, you know, look who owns CBS. So that plays into the narrative, you know, when right-wingers own the media. A lot of right-wingers, there's only five families basically own the media, and they're all right-wing. So when, you know, Fox News and other media outlets say, oh, the liberal leftist leaning, you know, mainstream media, it's a load of crap. It's a load of bullshit. You know, look at CNN. They're trying to be like, that the morph basically into Fox News light. You know? It's very, you know, it's very disgusting what CNN, you know, the alleged, you know, most trusted news has turned into Fox light. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched CNN in months, probably a year, maybe a little bit longer. CNN is just gone to the dogs.
Yeah.
CNN's absolute garbage now. You know?
Absolute
nonsense. So,
you know,
it's like anytime you hear somebody, oh, the liberal leftist leaning media, you know, you just want to punch him in the throat. Yeah, boy, I like this.
Absolutely. There's another thing that I just want to touch real quick on upon. There was a judge that struck down Obamacare provisions requiring insurers cover some preventative care service. A U.S. District Judge, Reed O'Connor, was appointed by President George W. Bush, has issued a number of rulings targeting Obamacare in recent year. He has struck down the Affordable Care Act provisions that require health insurers to provide some free preventative care services. The ruling could jeopardize coverage nationwide for people relying on the health care law for preventative services, such as screening for cancer, as well as HIV drugs. In the decision, the U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor mentioned his previous ruling on the structure of the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, which was created under Obamacare and helps determine preventative services coverage, this saying it violates the Appointment Clause of the Constitution and therefore its related preventative care mandates are unlawful. O'Connor also said Obamacare's requirement to cover drugs preventing HIV violates the religious rights of plaintiffs under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. I mean, really? Really? Something else, you know? It violates their religious beliefs by making them complicit in facilitating homosexual behavior, drug use, sexual activity outside of marriage between one man and one woman, O'Connor said. Who the hell is this man? I mean, honestly and truly.
Yeah. Again, they're trying to bring religion into, you know, mixing it with the Constitution and politics. And Jefferson and the forefathers said that there should be a clear line between religion and politics. It shouldn't mix. You know, so, yeah, it's just usual bullshit,
They're
trying to, like, cherry-pick the Constitution and twist, you know, what the Constitution said to fit their own narrative, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And that's what they do. They interpret it the way they want, and they twist it and turn it until they can get it the way they want it, and then they pass something ridiculous like that. There's nothing wrong with preventative. There's nothing wrong with cancer screening or HIV screening. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a preventative thing. Preventative medicine. Important.
Well, I have over 20 minutes left. Just over 20 minutes left. That's what I want to call in. Just slow in there because I guess everybody glued to the TV about what's happening with Trump. You know, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. About 26 and a half minutes left. I know I'm thinking about a call, but, you know, if they do, we'll talk to them. Yes, man, so,
I know.
Have you ever been to the movies recently? What movie you think out there, you know, is good that people could see?
I'm sorry, say that again.
There are good movies showing out there. Do you have any recommendations for people who are listening of which movies would be good to go watch?
Not me. I don't have any on the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, because yesterday I saw this movie. It was, what was it again? Shazam. That was very lighthearted and entertaining. Helen Mirren was good in it. The guy who starred Shazam, Levy. Yeah, he was good. Funny as hell. You know, our next movie that's out there is a sleeper hit. Woody Harrelson stars in it. Where some disabled kids. The name of the movie is Champions. And basically, it is about a coach in the NBA who, or a coach in professional basketball who wants to reach NBA status, but because of his temper and ill-mannered you know, attitude, you know, he got probation and was sent down to work with disabled mentally challenged kids. You know, and it's a touching story, really. You know, so if anybody wants to see a good movie, go to Champions with Woody Harrelson. It's a really touching story.
I saw the preview, so that does look good. Now that you mentioned it, I did see the preview. And it does look good. Mm-hmm. Okay,
I didn't expect the movie to be so good.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh. One last thing that I wanted to talk about. The Arkansas governor, we know who she is, right? Sarah Huckabee, signed a bill that restricts transgender students' bathroom use in schools. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Tuesday signed a bill into law that bars transgender people from using school restrooms that do not align with the sex listed on their birth certificate. The latest in a series of GOP-led legislative efforts to restrict LGBTQ rights in the classrooms. The bill, which cleared the state legislature earlier this month, covers restrooms, locker rooms, changing rooms, and shower rooms. It allows superintendents, teachers, and principals to be fined a minimum of $1,000 if they do not comply with the law, which applies to pre-K through 12th grade and charter schools. It goes in effect in late summer, Saunders said. The law requires multiple occupancy restroom or changing areas be used by those of the same sex as identified on his or her birth certificate used at or near the time of his or her birth, the law says. Accommodations must be provided for those who would be prohibited from using the facilities under the law, according to the bill. But those accommodations may not include access to a restroom or a changing area that is designated for use by members of the opposite sex to an individual while members of the opposite sex of the individual are present or may be present.
Yeah, so I guess the upset with sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the governor has said that she will sign laws that focus on protecting and educating our kids, not indoctrinating them, and believes our schools are no place for the radical left woke agenda, she told CNN. Arkansas isn't going to rewrite the rules of biology just to please a handful of far-left advocates, she added. There you go. Boom. Another one.
Mm-hmm.
And notice, they're all red states, basically.
Yeah. Right-wing Christian lunatic red states who, I guess, the population will learn that Republicans hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They'll learn eventually, but, you know, it'll be too late by then, probably. You know, it's just...
They will.
So what's the weather like there in Michigan? Is it breezy?
Raining, and it was about 52 degrees today. It was sunny in the morning, and it's been raining since late afternoon, and it's still raining. So
okay. It's nice and warm here today.
Pardon?
Tomorrow going to be 40 degrees in Albuquerque. 20 at night. So we had such a beautiful day for the past 3 days, where it's near 70, and then boom, going to be down to the 30s and 40s. It just driving me nuts in terms of the sinuses and everything, you know.
I know.
The climate change is a liberal hoax, so let me not bitch and complain.
Absolutely. I just wanted to go back for a second. You were asking me about Florida and Disney. And the CEO that came to retirement, his name is Bob Iger. He calls retaliation by Governor Ron DeSantis not only anti-business, but anti-Florida. So he is going to, he went on to say, calling moves by Governor Ron DeSantis, anti-business and anti-Florida, Bob Iger, showed today that he isn't afraid of a street brawl with the likely GOP presidential hopeful. We love the state of Florida, the Disney CEO said today at the company's annual shareholder meeting, his first since returning to the job in November. We respect and appreciate what the state has done for us, he added, but it's been a two-way street. In slick opening video, standing relaxed and debonair in the Magic Kingdom at the Walt Disney World, the CEO took a few benign swipes at DeSantis' attempts to strip Disney's long-held jurisdictional rights in the Orlando area. This has always been one of my favorite spots, Iger said. Nothing that is used to be remotely swampland before Disney stepped in. Thanks to those who dare to dream, he added. I'm so proud of Disney's legacy in Central Florida and around the world. So he's going to fix, he's going to take care of the Satan. I really, truly believe that. And he is in a tailspin. Other articles that I've read about this, he is really angry at what
because the previous CEO, rumor has it that he is a right-leaning Trump Republican, and anything that the Senate wanted, he got. Bob Iger did care him because for the past 30 years plus, he was CEO of Disney Company, and you know, he's like a veteran, hard-nosed person who was like a foolishness from either Democrat or Republican, you know. And when you consider it, Florida is getting income from Disney, provide jobs to people, provide entertainment, you know. So the DeSantis and his woke bullshit agenda, or anti-woke bullshit agenda, going after somebody who provides so many jobs, you know, and an income, and a tax base with tourism and everything. It's just stupid. You know, you question yourself, again, why do people vote for people like Ron DeSantis? Are they that the fucking dumb?
I don't know. And the other thing you have to think about is, you know, these college students, you know, that want to, you know, that in the past have gone to Florida to go to college because they like the weather or whatever college they want to go to, they're going to think twice down going to Florida and going to college. A lot of them are thinking twice about it, and they're passing it up because they don't want this BS. They just don't want it. You know, they don't want to be censored in what they can read and, you know, and what books are banned and, you know, going after college professors and all of that. They don't want any part of it. So he's killing that part of Florida as well, you know. So he's just doing, I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing in Florida. What is he accomplishing? It doesn't make any sense. It's a tourism
state. Well, he's strengthening the walk. He's strengthening the walk culture. Yeah, I guess he's trying to stay irrelevant because he's suing us like he's running for president, the Republican nomination. Speaking of which, Asa Hutchins last week announced that he's running. He's a former Arkansas governor, a Republican, and his claim to fame was back in the day. He led the impeachment against Bill Clinton when he was a congressman from Arkansas. And don't think he's a moderate. He is also a crazy right-wing lunatic.
Yes,
he was the governor before Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and he got term limits and everything. So I guess this is his last hurrah in politics, run for the presidency. And again, he's a QAnon Donald Trump supporter. The first thing, a day after he announced, he asked Donald Trump to drop out of the race, which I know that not it happened, because Trump loved all eyes on him. He's an attention whore. And don't be surprised if Donald Trump starting ripping Asa Hutchins in the ass, because that's what Donald Trump is good at, you know, calling people names and not talking about the issues affecting people's lives and everything. None of the Republicans, in fact, running for president, you know, have a grasp
happening in the country, the mood of the country, you know, what country needs in terms of getting inflation down, getting better gas prices, which no politicians have control over. It's just a worldwide thing. And with this war in Ukraine versus Russia, it's put a halt, near grinding halt to trade and everything. And it's just a whole hot mess, you know, because some Republicans now are fighting against Ukraine, saying that why should we give our tax dollars to Ukraine just because Joe Biden supports the Ukraine and democracy, you know? So, again, Republicans try to divert and deviate from what's important, you know?
Yeah.
The mother of the waters and do their own spin, make them look so, themselves look good, and Democrats look like incompetent fools. And hopefully in 2024, it will backfire on them.
Let's
hope.
You know, the thing is that, think about when he was in office, you know, I mean, did he lower taxes for the working class? No. Who did he give a tax break to?
The 1%. And he raised a deficit. Trump raised a deficit by $7 trillion. That is, you know, more than all presidents in the United States combined. $7 trillion.
You know,
so where's Lindsey Graham and other Republicans about wanting to, you know,
Graham
drop the deficit?
Crying. He was so upset, Lindsey Graham. Because
he cried on Fox News. Yes.
Yeah,
I saw
that.
It was funny. It was hilarious.
You know, I mean, what did he really do? Did he fix roads? Did he build bridges? Did he lower health care coverage? Did he do that? I mean, how about the price of prescriptions? How about the deficit? I mean, how about the, you know, our drug crisis, the opioid crisis?
What Trump mainly did was deregulated everything that Biden administration did, and he looked out for corporations and rich individuals. That's the only thing. That's there in the receipts, you know, so I hope Democrats run on that. Look what happened.
And how about
Ohio,
the wall,
the derailment.
How about the wall? Who paid for the wall? Did Mexico pay for that wall that he bragged about? No.
Yeah.
No.
The wall that fell down?
You know, I mean, did he put America first? Hell no. Did he drain the swamp? Hell no. He created a bigger swamp.
He put Donald Trump first and Russia first. His lord and master, Vladimir Putin.
I mean, if you really think about it, it's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
And here we have, you know, our Joe Biden as our president, and he goes on and says, you know, billionaires need to pay their fair share. You know, corporations need to pay their fair share. And no one is going to get a tax hike if you make $400,000 or more per year. I mean, that's fair. But, you know, it's just insane. It's totally insane. And there's one last thing that I find very funny. Let me see if I can find it here. Marjorie Taylor Greene holds her little rally in New York. It used to be a swampland. And it's now a park, but it used to be a swamp, and it stunk and everything. And that's where she's going to hold her little rally tomorrow.
Or from NASA rally. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Of course, expect a meet at the Bader giving her full coverage.
I just thought that was funny. Kind of made me laugh.
Okay, so listeners, Capitol Hill switchboard. If you want to talk to your congressperson or your U.S. senator, this is the number you call, Capitol Board, Capitol Hill switchboard, 202-224-3121. Just give them your zip code. Or you're not going to give you a zip code. Just say, hey, I'm from such and such a state. Can I speak to my senator? And ask you which one, because each state has two senators, and depending on, you know, the congressional layout, in the districts. You could ask them to put you through to the congressman or congresswoman. You know, you can go to the website, capitalhill.org, and see by who is a congressional representative based on the zip code. So again, that number for Capitol Hill, 202-224-3121. And, you know, just talk to your congressperson and tell them to work together to have better gun control, to have, you know, Medicare for all, Social Security. They should raise Social Security and not cut it or try to gut it. You know, things like that. Keep in loop, you know, pressure them, keep calling them, you know, until they're tired of hearing your voice, because in the long run, it is we the people who elected these people, not corporations. You know, corporations shouldn't be writing bills for them to vote on, because most of these politicians who vote on these bills don't know what a goddamn is in these bills.
Nope.
But because these different lobbyists giving them money, they're just taking the money and just voting for whatever these lobbyists want. You know, and it's not only right-wing lobbyists, but also left-wing lobbyists. All lobbyists should go that revolving door where you're a congressman or congresswoman or U.S. senator. You serve a couple terms, or you get defeated at the polls. And as soon as that happens, you jump and join a lobby company who gave you money and have a nice cushy pension and what have you. That is wrong. That is so antiquated and against the people. They should, like, cut that loophole and seal that door shut completely. If you serve in Congress, then you should not be a lobbyist afterwards. You know?
No, absolutely.
Because that's not working in the service of the people. Yeah, so that's my final thoughts for tonight. Any final thoughts, Lori?
Oh, well, my hope tomorrow is that Donald Trump finally realizes that he is not above the law. No matter what happens, he got indicted. He will get, you know, arraigned just like any other person. He's not better than anybody. And I'm hoping that this is just the beginning, because we have Georgia next, and we have January 6th. We have the sealed, you know, the documents and all of that. And I'm hoping that we go, you know, finish this, he starts another one, and then another indictment. That's what I want. I just want him to be bombarded and gag ordered, and let's just move on. Let's move on.
Yeah. And hopefully somebody in that courtroom will have a cell phone, a well-placed cell phone, to record the proceedings, to see how he squirms. And, you know, be like a bitch in front of the judge, you know, because Donald Trump is full of a lot of talk, a lot of bravado and machoism, but behind closed doors, you know, he's throwing ketchup bottles against the wall and shitting his diapers and being like a bitch, basically. So, you know, he's no tough guy. He's a little bitch.
Yep.
Donald Trump, you're a bitch. Just like the Republican Party who's following you, like Freddie and Lindsey Graham, is another bitch. Andrew Taylor Green, Lynn Boebert, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, Ray from McForehead, Tom Cotton from Arkansas. They're all weak, incompetent little bitches. And stop voting for these people. 2024 is just an eye blink away. Make sure we vote them up, because Americans are better than what Republicans are offering. They're evil, disgusting people who should be tried and put in prison. How, you know, January 6th went down, where, you know, they're for autocracy and overthrowing our democracy. And you can't call yourself a patriot and the shit like that. How dare you, Republicans? They claim to be law and order, but yet still they supported these insurrectionists and defending these insurrectionists when they visited them in prison a couple of weeks back. You know, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, I hope you're listening. Fuck you. You know, you're done.
Yep.
We're coming after you. At the ballot box. Look how German the District 14 is in Georgia. We're coming for your seat. You know, we're not going to let up. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to give you no space to, like, you know. No, because you just gave David Hogg and other people who suffered from Stonewall Douglas school shooting any leeway or any... No, you didn't. So fuck you.
Boebert.
Yeah.
You know, Boebert, who don't have a high school education, but took 4 tries to get her high school GED. You don't belong in Congress. Mm-hmm. You and George Sanders should resign. You're incompetent, inbred fools.
Yeah.
You know, go to the playground and play with each other. You're incompetent fools. No blind in Congress. Yeah, so anyway, enough of my ranting and everything. I think people are hearing that. Let's play the Cranberries, Just My Imagination, and we'll come back and close out. People enjoy this music.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. Well, thank you for listening, sharing across social media. It was a subdued show tonight. Everybody, hook on MSNBC and CNN and whatever they watch, because Donald Trump will get up and respond tomorrow. We can hope for the best. And somebody approached the pilot or whatever, and I usually say that here. I will not say that. Yeah, so Donald Trump will be around tomorrow, fingerprinted, mugshot taken. Let's just hope for the best that democracy is defended and he is put in jail for a long time. Yeah, he's a disgusting human being. The Republican Party is destroyed, and a civil war is about to start in GOP. Yeah, he is not deserving to be in the White House again. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. So anyway, tomorrow night we'll have a special show. Hopefully we'll get some calls and everything. What transpired about the day. What happened to Donald Trump and everything. So until next time, David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. And this is Laurie from Michigan. Good night, democracy defenders. We'll see you tomorrow evening. Have a great night.
Thank you.